Welcome to EP Connection's special offer for today's Philosophy Bites, where we dive deep into the most intriguing philosophical theories and thinkers. I'm your host, Ethan, and today we're exploring Robert Nozick's libertarian theory of justice, a key counterpoint to theories of social justice, particularly to those of John Rawls. Let's start with a foundational question. What is social justice? Social justice concerns the fair distribution of resources, opportunities, and privileges within a society. And different thinkers propose various principles to define the fairness as the norm. Some advocate for equality, and others advocate for merit or need. So a prominent advocate of pattern justice was John Rawls, whose difference principle states that inequalities in wealth and power are justifiable only if they benefit the least advantaged members of the society. But on the contrary, Nozick's theory, articulated in his seminal work, Anarchy, State and Utopia, which challenges the pattern series like Rawls. Instead of focusing on outcomes, Nozick focuses on the process that produces these outcomes for the society. His theory of justice reads on three main purposes. And these principles are, first of all, justice in acquisitions, how people originally acquire the unknown resources. And secondly, the justice in transfer, which is how resources are voluntarily exchanged or transferred within a structure of constructed society. And thirdly, the recidification of injustice, which is onto how to address these past wrongs, such as theft or coercions, to restore the fairness ultimately as a goal. And for Nozick, a distribution is just if and only if people's holdings were acquired and transferred according to these principles. But the actual pattern or inequality of the outcome is irrelevant. So this makes a total difference from what we learn from Rawls. To illustrate his point, Nozick presents the famous Will Chamberlain through thought experiments. So imagine a society with a perfectly equal distribution of wealth. Now, suppose that Will Chamberlain, a star basketball player, agrees to play on a condition that each fan pays him 25 cents per game. And over a season, a million fans attend his game, and Will earns $250,000. So this upsets the initial equality. By a pattern theory of justice, this new distribution might seem unjust. However, for Nozick, it is not. Why? Because fans willingly paid for Wilt. The process was voluntary, and such transfer of resources was voluntary on its own. So this is how Wilt's earnings arouse from legitimate transactions within a society. And within this example and circumstance, Nozick argues that enforcing pattern distribution would require the constant interference in people's choices, which is what he calls forbidding capitalist acts between the consenting adults. So let's move on. Nozick advocates for a minimal state, a government limited to protecting individuals from force, theft, and fraud, and enforcing the contracts. But beyond that, the state has no role in redistributing the wealth or ensuring equality. However, Nozick's framework isn't rigid. He acknowledges that the possibility of smaller communities voluntarily adopting egalitarian principles. For instance, a group could form a socialist commune within a minimal state, as long as no one is coerced into joining. This adaptability is what Nozick calls the framework of utopia. So ultimately, these philosophers are also in supportive of such existence for utopia, and they're arguing for such a principle for forming the existence for utopias, right? While Anarchy, State, and Utopia was groundbreaking on its own work, it faced significant criticism. Some regards that Nozick's emphasis onto the process ignored the practical realities of systemic inequalities, which is what we usually perceive these days as the initial inequalities for resources, they have already existed for a societal formation. These are systematic. And others pointed out how Nozick series doesn't address the collective goals or social solidarity. Well, interestingly, Nozick himself later expressed reservations about libertarianism. In the Examen Life of his work, he admitted that libertarianism didn't fully account for the symbolic importance of collective actions and human solidarity. He recognized that the citizens often value achieving shared goals through the government as an expression of mutual respect and unity. However, let's see some differences between Ross and Nozick, and let's dive into that. To summarize, such debate between them can actually be boiled down to this. John Ross prioritizes the patterns and fairness in the outcomes, which argue for the redistribution to benefits for the least advantages, right? But Nozick is different. Nozick points out the processes and individual freedoms, which is based on how we have already perceived the society should be. Like, classes might have exist, it might exist, but if determine the willingness of the people, determine how they perceive these transactions and distribution for wealth, they can have such individual freedom to redistribution of the wealth. These principles emphasize the voluntary transactions and property rights. Well, you can say that both offer profound insights, and such tension between the ideas continues to shape how modernly we perceive these in our discussions on the justice and public policies. So, to close this, Nozick's entitlement theory reminds us that justice isn't just about where we end up, it's about how we get there. While Nozick's minimalist vision challenges us to think deeply about freedom and fairness, it also invites us to consider the limits of individualisms and the potential for collective solidarity. So that's pretty interesting, and let's keep that on to the next episode for this special offer, which is called Philosophy Say. So thank you for tuning in today's episode of EP Connection special offer Philosophy Bites. I hope that exploration for Nozick's theory inspires you to think critically about justice, freedom, and the role of the state. So until next time, keep questioning and keep learning. And also, don't forget to stay tuned on our Spotify, Apple Podcast, and iHeartRadio. So this is Ethan, signing off.